Did you know we've moved?
Move it! I like to move it, move it.
Our new home at TrendingTopicsNetwork.com, bringing you new content like Fight Show Live and the Spanish Announce Table, and the same shows that you come to enjoy like Old School at the Movies, Pending Mobile Technology, and The Real News. Make sure you check us out every week, TrendingTopicsNetwork.com.
Daniel Palmer, San Antonio, Texas.
Matt Damon!
Stop all the downloading!
It's showtime.
This is Old School at the Movies, episode 54 for September 26th, 2013. Old School at the Movies is brought to you by the Trending Topics Network. Check out some great shows like The Spanish Announce Table, The Real News, and Trending Mobile Technology. Welcome back to Old School at the Movies, your one-stop shop for all your movie-related news. I'm your host, Mr. Old School. Before we get into the panel this week, let's get into the contact information. OldSchoolMovies.net is a site where you can listen, download, and subscribe to the podcast as well. TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. You can email us at oldschoolmovies2@gmail.com, or you can tweet us at oldmovies.net. That's oldmoviesdotnet. So without further ado, let's introduce our panel for this week. We've got our Iron Man, Mr. Heavyset.
Alonzo.
We've got Kebo Trek.
Howdy.
We've got Mr. Carp.
Hey, yo.
And we've got Will.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, you're a little bit more upbeat this week. Usually it's
Thanks for having me.
Stop. There you go, man. Liking that upbeatness.
Thanks, man.
All right, let's get into the news for this week.
I'm Bruce Nolan for Eyewitness News. Back to you, fuckers.
Kelsey Grammer takes Expendables 3 role meant for Nicolas Cage. Disney and Jerry Bruckheimer will part ways in 2014. Producer and studio says Lone Ranger not to blame. Bullshit. Illuminati and Universal's Minions spinoff pushed to summer 2015. We've got a trailer for the new RoboCop. Jason Statham almost died while filming Expendables 3 in Bulgaria. And Ben Affleck chats Batman and early reactions on Jimmy Fallon. Heavy set, what would you like to discuss this week?
RoboCop trailer. I like to buy that for $1.
All right, let's play it.
You ready? Detective Alex Murphy, officer down!
We are on the eve of a technological revolution.
We need to give Americans a figure they can rally behind.
Give your mom a kiss.
My baby.
Too slow, boy.
We're gonna put a man inside a machine.
He suffered fourth-degree burns over 80% of his body. If he survives, he'll be paralyzed from the waist down, confined to a wheelchair.
You say you can save him, but what does that mean? What kind of life will he have?
What kind of suit is this?
It's not a suit. It's you.
What the hell did you do to me?
Make him more tactical. Make him look, let's go with black.
When the machine fights, the system releases signals into Alex's brain, making him think he's in control. But he's not. It's the illusion of free will.
I've selected 13 targets, all wanted for murder.
This is the future of American justice.
Alex! You need to speak to your son.
Somehow, he's overriding the system's priorities.
The human element will always be present. Compassion, fear, instinct. They will always interfere with the system.
Federal line, you're coming with me.
All right, my thoughts quickly. I am not looking forward to seeing this movie from what I've seen in the trailer. In my opinion, First of all, they kind of downplayed the gray suitness. Ah, forget the gray. We want black. Didn't like that. Also didn't like the fact that they didn't have an updated old theme. I would have really liked the old, like they do with the Mission Impossible movies and stuff. I thought the old theme would have been very appropriate and a nice little tidbit for, you know, the old school RoboCop fans. I just, this is not selling me on this movie, regardless of, you know, Michael Keaton, Gary Oldman, and Sam Jackson. I'm very on the fence here, Heavy. Let's get your thoughts.
See, I'm very fortunate that I didn't see this movie up until a couple years ago, so I don't have 20-some years of fascination with RoboCop. And me, I'm looking forward to it. I remember when I watched RoboCop for the first time a couple years ago, my immediate reaction was, they should remake this movie because it's one of those futuristic 80s movies, and in my opinion, a lot of those look a lot alike. And I felt like with better technology, it could come out better. And I think it wasn't that long later that they finally announced that they were going to redo the RoboCop movie. You know what? Like I said, from my outside point of view, I think it looks like a really good movie. And I'm hoping that this trailer is holding back something. Like maybe there is a theme, redone theme done. Maybe there's more that we're just not seeing within the first trailer. Maybe there's something we'll see in another trailer. Maybe something we'll see in TV spots, last being actually in the movie. Just, I think there is going to be more. They just want to show you more new stuff and probably not try to cling to what we all know, because we've seen how well that worked for the Lone Ranger.
Yeah, I mean, the February 17th release date makes sense. You don't want to throw this in the summer. That would have crowded market. Again, to me, you wouldn't want to hold anything back. You would want to, in my opinion, you'd want to grab people right away. So the first biggest thing to me is you're missing that da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And then if you change them to black, don't, like, downplay the gray, because that's an insult to the old school.
Yeah, I always hate them when they do that, too. They do it in a few other movies.
Will, yes. Let's throw it to you. It looks like you got something to chime in.
I have a lot. I hope I don't. I have lots to say, because the thing is that something I noticed just recently. I didn't get it before. The way that the old movie works is that he's more of a machine in the beginning. Like he's just a machine. And then as time goes on, he remembers that he actually had a family once and he's a man, because seeing the remake, he still has a family. In the old one, he didn't. So he thought he was just a machine, and he's a machine reawakening. And the weird thing to me is when he takes off his mask, it looked like he was still wearing a mask and it was like just skin put on. And I realized that's what it is. Because, see, in this one, when you see him like in the costume without wearing a mask, the metal casing is outside, protruding from outside his face. So we see it's around him. While in the old one, his face seems to be beyond the head. Do you know what I'm trying to say here? Am I making sense?
They're adding more of, it's more like a human element, whereas the first one, he was more pretty much entirely machine.
Yes, including his face. His face is actually not really, I didn't catch as a kid. I mean, I found
I guess they're trying to make him more human.
Making more human here, yes. They are more human, more with the family. And so to me, the more I see of a difference, also like you see that his body is, even though it's been scarred 80% by burns, he still has both his legs. He has his hand. In the older one,
it looked like one leg was kind of amputated. Oh,
okay,
though,
okay, there he goes. Yeah. Okay, that's fine. So what he has, but in the old one, he was fully machine. Like the only thing that I think was still human was like maybe his innards, his brains.
Can you remember what happened to him in the first RoboCop? He got shot up so bad, I'm amazed there's anything left of him.
Yeah, there was nothing left. Exactly. It's just like his innards, his innards, his neuron connections. That was pretty much it.
See, what I'm worried about is that it's PG-13, and it looks like there's going to be a lot of like anti-drone crap from what I'm seeing. Ed-209 looks all right.
Do admit that. Yeah, Ed-209 looks perfectly fine.
But the other RoboCop drones, I don't know if that's some sort of like, we shouldn't use drones and it's going to have some sort of hidden message. Screw that. It's a RoboCop flick. It's supposed to be violent.
Yes.
And it's supposed to be a good action flick.
But guys, doesn't it look fun?
I may even wait till this is free on TV. So.
But you know what?
Really?
Isn't it ironic that the old one was about making Detroit better and because Detroit was gone to shit, and now in year 2013, Detroit is now totally gone to that to what it looked like back in 1987. So
it's like they predicted the future.
Yeah, that's right.
Detroit's been collapsing since the 60s, guys.
Well, you know, you try to think positively. Will, what would you like to discuss this week?
Ben Affleck with Batman.
All right, let's play it.
kid. Everyone loves their kid. Yeah, yeah.
Kind of a lumpy head.
Lumpy head, yeah. But they got to be psyched because daddy's going to be Batman now.
That, yeah.
I mean, that's
really I mean, yeah, every kid should see their dad as a superhero.
Dad should be a superhero.
It's so
oh, my
awesome,
goodness.
Man. I'm so excited. It was like, it called me up and said, do you want to do this? And I thought, what? You know, I'm like 25, man. Are you sure about this? They come down. We want to show you what we're doing. And it was incredible. Zach was director. Zach Snyder's directing it.
Zach
he's
Snyder.
This incredible
oh, yeah. Oh, he's
take on it. That's like, obviously, you can't do what Chris and Christian did. Those movies are amazing. And so he wants to do something different, but still in keeping with that. And so I had the, like, I thought, I this is a brilliant way to do this. And I really know how to hook into this. And I said, okay, I want to do it. And the people from the studio were like, we're thrilled. We're so excited. And da-da-da. And we arranged it. And I said, listen, we want to talk to you because people go through this process and it's a little bit, you know, it can be trying. I said, what do you mean? So we want to show you some of the, like, reactions that past cast members, people who've been cast, have gotten, like, on the internet. Stuff.
Yeah,
I was like, really? And so they send me, like, oh, when, you know, I won't even say who they were. People who were in these movies who did a great job.
Yeah.
And the people, you but know, these things were like, kill him!
No, you, that this means amazing. A lot. After the movie, you like it. Oh, that was a great choice.
Yeah, it's like, before, you can't say it before the movie comes out. I mean, how much, you know, it doesn't matter what people think then. It matters what you think when you see the movie, obviously. But I was like, I'm a big boy. You know what I mean? I don't need to...
I
could handle
criticism.
The Emmy snub.
Yeah.
I can handle anything.
So, I'll let you borrow it.
So I went on the... I said, just don't use the internet for a couple of days. And I said, I don't... This is not... I handle...
I'm tough. You know I mean? Yeah. So, I'm tough.
Yeah, I'm very tough.
Boston,
so
yeah.
I saw the announcement. I look on this thing. I look down the first comment.
Yeah.
It's like, Ben Affleck's going to be Batman. The first one just goes, no! Like, maybe it's just,
yeah, get on the internet,
not,
right? Let's throw out the computers for a week. Get it on and look
We're
going to
be
stuff.
Luddites for a while,
yeah.
Kids.
Exactly.
Right, so it's cool that he's got a cool demeanor about it. I mean, because people, regardless of, unless it would have been maybe Josh Brolin, but apart from that.
Or John Hamm or whatever.
Yeah, like those, apart from those two, like if Ryan Gosling would have been casted, people would have freaked out.
Yeah, yeah.
So, again, I honestly, looking at it right now, I don't think it's going to work, but who knows? I'm going to be surprised. We've seen casting like Heath Ledger and Anne Hathaway work when everybody crapped on it. So I'm kind of falling more into the camp of the wait and see. What's your thoughts?
So what I'm going to comment on is more, not necessarily him as Batman. We've done this before. It's more about the clip we just heard. My favorite part is when he talks about when he goes down, he looks at he has an overview of what's going on. He's a very, very smart filmmaker, so he understands the craft better than most, if not all, actors out there. So he has a very good vision of how to bring certain characters to screen, and he gets the process. So when I hear him say that he sees what's going on and it gels well with his particular mindset, I am extremely excited. The reason is because the last time I heard this was when Heath Ledger went to see Nolan and his idea of what the Joker was going to be. And the idea that Nolan had correspond as well, and they crafted this character together into what we saw on screen. So that gets me very excited for seeing Ben Affleck's version of Batman. Also, it tells me that it's not just Snyder's version, it's also Affleck's version too. It's what he's bringing to this role as well. I am looking forward to this.
So you figure it's going to be long term, have him direct at one point, star in a couple films?
Because he said he was talking more about the character in the project. He never mentioned like the movie. He mentioned more about. Seemed like he was talking more about the franchise itself, where these things were going. So I do like how he can maybe see where he can involve himself, not just an actor, but maybe a director. And I mean, think about it. Imagine this gritty Batman film, like crime film, where it's Batman. Because Nolan's weren't necessarily, they got more political later on. But when you look at movies like The Town, I can see how you can have like this very gritty crime film with Batman in it. That would be awesome for me. But we'll see where that goes.
The more I think about it, the more I'm actually excited for him as Batman. I don't know why, but I think he's going to do a really, really good job on it.
I think so.
And I think he's going to prove a lot of people wrong.
I think he's going to pull out the Geely voice and kill a franchise.
And see, now you're bringing it back to that and Daredevil.
Oh, are you upset, Kevin?
You're
I am.
You need a minute.
I am.
Cool. You're better than this old school.
He's gonna have a Southie Bostonian accent on. He's gonna be like, "Hey, let's go see the Red Sox and
well, you know
go back
what,
to Boston."
Boston,
guys,
Red Sox, Boston.
I always thought that Gotham was exactly where Boston was supposed to be on the map.
Yeah, but they don't talk with that fucking accent.
How do we know? It's comic books.
In any of the movies, there's no.
But that's
all New York.
Those are interpretations.
Gotham is New York. Chicago, if anything, with the crime rate.
Detroit.
No, Chicago.
Chicago.
Is Chicago worse? Wait, guys.
Chicago.
Wait, but Carp, is Chicago worse than Detroit for crime?
I couldn't imagine.
Right now it is, actually.
Really? I thought Detroit was.
I think it's highest murder rate in the U.S. right now.
All right, speaking of murder rate, Carp, what would you like to discuss this week?
The one I actually suggested, Bruckheimer getting Das Boot.
All right, Disney and Jerry Bruckheimer will part ways in 2014. Producer and studio says, Lone Ranger not to blame. Few producers in Hollywood have shaped the landscape of mainstream cinema such as Jerry Bruckheimer. And there's rarely been a more successful partnership as him and Disney. Struck up in 1990 with executive producer role of The Ref. Bruckheimer has delivered a slate of successful franchises and blockbuster one-offs, including Armageddon, Bad Boys, and most recently Pirates of the Caribbean series. However, a less-than-stellar 2013 has cast doubts on the producer's dynamic with Disney, and while the two powerhouses have now decided to split, the reasons behind it are not as clear-cut as initially thought. The studio announced yesterday via The Wrap that they would not seek to renew the first-look deal with Bruckheimer, therefore allowing their long-standing partnership to expire next year in 2014. However, with the critical and financial sting delivered by the Lone Ranger still very present in both parties' minds, the Gore Verbinski's directed Western is apparently not the reason for the split. Rather, it's a matter of conflicts over future material. Disney will continue to focus on its branded properties, including Disney, Pixar, Marvel, and now Lucasfilms, as a studio statement, while Bruckheimer is looking to produce more mature films outside the scope of the Disney brand. Carp, this is obviously has to do a lot with Lone Ranger, in my opinion. I think they're going to say otherwise, but I mean, apart from that, he could do no wrong. Pirates is making a ton of money for him. They had mentioned Armageddon, Bad Boys as well, so I can't imagine them cutting him off if Lone Ranger never happened. What do you think?
Well, it is a large factor. They're not saying it's because of that directly, but I'm sure it's a large factor. I like him possibly going back to more R-rated material, like The Rock and Con Air. Those were great Bruckheimer films. And restarting Touchstone Pictures, that could be huge. Didn't the last Pirates kind of do crappy, though, from what I remember?
Yeah, but I mean, it wasn't crappy in the terms of like Lone Ranger.
No, it wasn't the epic.
Was making money.
Epic fail that was. But I mean, people have been begging for an next Bad Boys. People have been asking for another Beverly Hills Cop, and Bruckheimer, you know, he's got plans for these sequels. So I kind of like it.
I can't see Beverly Hills Cop making. Wasn't there a TV spinoff?
There was supposed to be a TV spinoff, but I think it got hit in developmental hell as usual. Okay. So yeah. I mean, we'll see. But definitely a sequel to Bad Boys has to happen, in my opinion. I've always said there has to be a trilogy for that.
I agree. Okay, there was the deal was that we saw that in the 70s, director was King, and then crap happened, so they went more for the producer. And now we're noticing that the producer has too much power, so it seems like there's a trend going on, and now that the studio's coming back in charge. That's what I see is happening. That's
Kebo Trek, what would you like to discuss this week?
Take Kelsey Grammer.
Your fucking bell. Fuck your bell, man.
Kelsey Grammer.
All right. While the full cast was announced for Expendables 3, as production began in Bulgaria, it was a bummer to see the long-rumored names like Jackie Chan and Nick Cage ended up not being a part of the cast. That sucks. I didn't know about Jackie Chan. How come that didn't work out?
I don't know. That's a good question.
That sucks. But with the cast making some shifts, such as replacing Bruce Willis with Harrison Ford, it's no surprise to learn that Cage's role is going to someone we wouldn't expect. Deadline has word that Kelsey Grammer is in the midst of finalizing a deal to join the cast. That's right, Dr. Fraser Crane is joining an ensemble cast of veteran action stars, as well as Cage's addition would have been. This is more than intriguing. I agree with the article. I'm not sure how well he would do in an action role. I know he played Beast in the X-Men, but I don't know if that, you know, required him to do a lot of physicality. I'm interested to see what he can do. It's definitely not a Nick Cage, but with the amount of cast they've got already, I don't see it as a huge loss. Let's get your thoughts.
I actually love the casting of Kelsey Grammer. Yeah, I like when they kind of bring these people who aren't normally, you know, in those kind of roles and bring them in, because I think it adds, it's a lot of fun to it. And the, I mean, the example we always talk about is Liam Neeson from Taken. And
yeah, but he had done action roles previously.
Yeah, that's true. But I don't know. I can picture Kelsey Grammer being a badass. I don't know why, but
you know, it's the Bryan Cranston effect.
I think, you know what, you're right about that. And, you know, Kelsey Grammer is a great actor, so I think he would have the chops to play, like, a great villain or, you know, some kind of henchman to Mel Gibson's character or something like that.
Anybody else want to chime in?
I also like it quite a bit. He was actually pretty physical and beast at the end of X-Men 3. He shows he could do action. It might have been him. It might have been a stuntman. One might think that his turn as a villain in Transformers Age of Extinction, that's also got me curious as to how much of a bad guy he could be. Plus, apparently this Star Series boss, he was quite a tough guy.
Yeah, no, I saw a couple episodes. He wasn't really a physical role, but definitely can play a bit of a badass. So I'm intrigued. Again, I would have preferred Cage, but you know, who knows what he's going to be able to deliver. He's got the acting chops, so let's see what he can do, I guess.
Just, like, I really have a bad feeling I'm going to picture, like, Sideshow Bob when he's on the screen. I'm just going to picture, like, that character for some reason.
There you go. All right. Anybody see anything this week? Nope. All right. Let's get into the weekend box office.
Weekend box office.
Prisoners debuted with $20 million. This is the Wolverine, Jake Gyllenhaal. His daughter gets kidnapped, taken, I don't know, kind of mishmash. I'm not too surprised at the number. I mean, there's a big cast, and so I don't see it lasting too long. It's probably going to be a pretty big drop-off. $50 million budget. I'm guessing overseas it's going to do okay. I do see this, I guess, making its money back. Number two, Insidious Chapter 2 came in with $13.8 million. It's got a total domestic of $60 million with a budget of $5 million. I'm sure the studios are very happy with that. The Family came in at number three with $7 million. Instructions not included. That's that foreign film, eh? That keeps doing well. Racked in another $5 million. It's got a total domestic of $33 million. Battle of the Year debuted with $4.6 million. Number six, We're the Millers, and racked in another $4.5 million. This is racking in $4 or $5 million a week. It's now got a total domestic of $138. Lee Daniels, the Butler, same thing, racking in another $4 or $5 million a week, and it's up to $106 million total. Number eight, Riddick with $3.6 million, got a total domestic of $37 million. Number nine, The Wizard of Oz in 3D, debuted with $3.1 million, and to round off the top 10, we got Planes at $2.7 million total domestic of $86 million. Let's check out upcoming movies for this week. Let's play the trailer for Don John. We'll throw it to Kevin when we get back.
There's only a few things I really care about in life: my body, my pad, my ride, my family, my church, my boys, my girls, and my porn. My body, my pad, my ride, my family, my church, my boys, my girls, my porn. Body, pad, ride, family, church, boys, girl.
That's her?
That's definitely her.
She's a dime.
Oh, this girl's more than a dime for
her. Oh my God, were you in love with this girl already?
Sure, I've seen this girl.
Oh my God, what's her name? What's her name?
Why'd you say yes to me?
I'm just gonna have to wait to find out.
All right, I got time.
You're cute, I like you.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
Listen, you wanna know the truth? You're the most beautiful thing I've ever seen in my life.
You like movies?
I don't watch too many movies. The Pretty Woman, The Pretty Man, when they drive off into the sunset. Everyone knows it's fake.
I love movies like that, you know?
Yeah, it's great. But they watch it like it's real life.
Baby.
What are you doing?
I was just reading email.
No, you weren't.
She caught me watching porn.
That's it?
Right?
Oh!
How do you watch that?
How do you watch all the stupid movies that you watch?
Movies and porno are different, John. They give awards for movies.
They give awards for porn, too. So, there's only a few things I really care about in life.
I don't know if I really want to watch some kids.
Oh!
Look what you did.
I look like a grandma.
I have any grandchildren?
If you want to lose yourself, you have to lose yourself in another person. It's a two-way thing. I thought you were different.
And maybe it's time to try something new.
Don John, this is actually a chick flick that I would go see. Of course, we got Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Scarlett Johansson, looking really hot in this movie. Got Tony Danza, Julianne Moore. Again, I'm not a big fan of chick flicks, as you have heard last week with my rant on Twilight. But this looks okay. I would go see this. Kebo Trex, get your thoughts, man.
Yeah, I'm definitely with you. I think it looks really good, and I love the casting of Tony Danza and Joseph Gordon-Levitt as father and like they look exactly alike.
They do.
And
they do.
I just don't know. I like the topic of it. I mean, Scarlett can be in anything and look drop dead gorgeous, so that's always
but she,
a plus.
And I think you mentioned this in a previous episode that usually she doesn't sex herself up for roles, but she looks really good in this role.
Yeah, I know. And it's, you know, it's a trend that she should continue in the future. But yeah, I'd definitely be interested in seeing this.
Yeah, Kev, want to hear something great?
Yes, I do.
Sundance, Scarlett Johansson movie, Under the Skin, full frontal scene.
I've heard about that.
Yeah.
I'm so in.
So, yeah.
Into the movie.
Yeah. Just
all right. Carp, is this something you want to check out?
It's maybe for me. I mean, it would definitely be a good date movie if I could get a date to it. If
there you go.
There's anything else coming out this week, there's a limited release called We Are What We Are, which looks pretty awesome. About cannibals, so that's for me, but
yeah. Will, is this on your radar?
To watch with Gallifrey, yeah, it sounds fine.
There you go. Heavy Set, is this something you're going to check out?
Yeah, I think this is not necessarily 100% a chick flick. It seems like this is what you would base kind of a chick flick, but there's like it's appealing more towards males because I think the porn aspect.
Absolutely.
But it's still a chick flick at the same time because you got a guy like Joseph Gordon-Levitt behind it. I think this is kind of like what they're shooting for. I like it.
Yeah, it's one of the few, even if it's not a chick flick, it's kind of sold as that in the trailer. But it's a movie with that kind of chick flick-esque movie story that will appeal to more males. So I'm interested to see how it does this week. And I mean, Gordon-Levitt is now turned into a draw. He's a great actor. So again, you know, date or not, I guess definitely something I want to check out.
Of the movies coming out in theaters, I mean, I guess no one really cares about Clyde with the Chance of Meatballs 2 besides me because I really like the first one. But what about Metallica Through the Never?
How about I'm never going to see that?
Yeah, you're not. There's also Rush getting a wide release as well, which is that.
Oh, that's the F1 movie.
The
F1 yeah.
Movie with Thor. So.
he plays Thor in an F1 car.
Yeah, his car.
He just smashes his hammer on the other car. Ron Howard's directing, so.
Yeah,
and what I've seen, like people are saying best movie ever and all this stuff.
It's definitely getting an Oscar nom.
Wow, for an F1 movie. Yeah. I'm curious to see how the American audience will take to it, though, because I know they're more NASCAR and America. And
can only turn left.
There you go. Let's check out the world of DVDs for this week.
DVD release.
Kebo Trek, what's on the radar for this week?
There's not too much out this week. There's a small indie film called Iron Man 3 that's going to be out.
Yeah, I heard about that. Downey Jr. played a small role.
Yeah, I think it made a few dollars or something.
Okay.
But,
yeah.
You know, small film. I don't know if I'm assuming we all seen it, except me, actually. But
That's where Iron Man dies, right?
I think so, yeah. And I heard the Mandarin
spoiler
is like
alert,
the
asshole.
Best villain ever.
Yeah, yeah, Mandarin's a great, great villain.
Are you guys joking? You guys are joking, right? Is it all jokes?
Yeah.
You forgot.
Making sure.
Yeah. You forgot a huge Blu-ray release, Kebo Trek.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but it's not a new movie, so I didn't include it. But yeah,
Dark Knight Trilogy on Blu-ray. I'm buying this. Done.
The Ultimate Collector's Edition, though. It's. I mean, technically the trilogy has been out.
Ultimately Collector's Edition.
Yeah, Ultimately.
Like, I even have Dark Knight on DVD. Don't care buying all three. Nobody's with me here?
They're good movies.
I've already got all three on Blu-ray.
It's expensive, too. It's very expensive.
Who gives a shit? It's the Dark Knight trilogy.
If I didn't own any of them, I'd probably get the set. Like, I got the Avengers Shield briefcase. So.
And I'm not a physical media guy at all. Like, I've got a collection of maybe 50 DVDs in my house. but I will get this. For the sole kind of my super favorite movies, I will definitely buy media for it, and I'm going to buy it. I want to have that collector's edition of all three movies, and it'd be a nice update to have it on Blu-ray.
It's for the Hot Wheels cars, right, that come with it?
Absolutely.
Where's the explanation of physically owning Fever Pitch?
I don't know what you're talking about.
In Eat, Pray, Love.
No, I do not. I would set that fucking movie on fire.
I heard you already ordered three copies of it, so you always have one with you.
Absolutely, one on the road.
You got to make sure it's always ready to view.
Yeah, always. At work, at home, and at play. All right. I Spit on Your Grave, too, is that this week, too. Carp, you must know about this one.
If it's anything like the remake of the original, then it should be pretty good. There's also VHS 2, which I want to see.
What the fuck is that?
The original VHS, these college kids break into this house, and there's a collection of VHS tapes, and they start playing them. And they're like snuff films, but supernatural snuff films. It's weird. You'd have to see it, and you'd have to enjoy horror to like it as well. There's Apartment 1303, which seems like a direct ripoff of 1408. So,
are you sure that's not an asylum or Elysium, whatever they call it?
This room asylum 237 is supposed to be like some sort of weird documentary about Kubrick's The Shining. I don't know, like people trying to associate how The Shining had the background of the lunar landing and all this other crap. It sounds weird.
All right, check out Netflix for this week. America, fuck yeah!
This week in Netflix.
On the Canadian side, we've got Family Guy Season 10, Drive Angry, Insidious, The Guilt Trip, and Don't Stop Believing, Every Man's Journey. On the U.S. side, we got The Rise and Fall of White Collar Hooligans. You must know this one, Carp. We've got Side Effects, Bob Saget, That's What I'm Talking About, Love Actually, and The Count of Monte Cristo. I'd give it to the Americans this week. I think they got more, especially with the Bob Saget there. I would definitely check that out.
I see as well, because the one with Side Effects is America, right?
America.
Good, so then go for America. It's a great movie.
America. All right, check out Carp's Bargain Bin for this week.
I love sluts, I love whores, I love tramps, I love skins, I love sluts. I love sluts.
Carp, we've got P2 this week. What's P2?
P2 is a horror thriller film.
Is it a sequel to P1?
No, P1 never existed. It's written by Alexandra.
Is it a is it previous to P3?
I'm going to punch you in the
prequel?
Taint. It's basically this woman, businesswoman is stalked by a crazy, deranged security guard on Christmas Eve in a parking lot. So it stars Rachel Nichols and Wes Bentley. It was actually really good. I was very impressed. Wes Bentley plays a great psychopath, and Rachel Nichols plays a great victim who decides, screw this, I'm going to go after him and try and get the hell out of this place. The entire movie, Rachel Nichols is looking ridiculously beautiful. She played Scarlett in the original G.I. Joe.
Full frontal nudity?
No, unfortunately
Fuck off.
Not. Who else? Written by Alexandra Aja. He's done High Tension, which is really popular, The Mirrors horror movie, The Hills Have Eyes remake. So you have a solid horror writer making another horror flick. Rachel Nichols looks ridiculous. Wes Bentley, like I said, is a great psychopath. There's one really gory kill that was really well done. So it's a solid 8, hot Rachel Nichols in a tight white cleavagey dress out of 10.
All right. We actually got an email this week. It's been a little while. This comes from Piper the DJ. Hello, old school at the movies. Happy 52 episodes. Thank you. I know it's a little late, and for that I'm sorry, but after the chick flick episode, I decided to redo my audio tribute for the occasion. You may expect it by your next episode. Looking forward to that. Question, as the seasons change with from the summer blockbuster season coming to an end, what do you think will need to happen to give us a quality winter blockbuster? Thanks for the great show. Who wants to start on this?
I will.
Hold on, I want to get something. What do we consider winter blockbuster? What's the beginning timeline?
November.
November? Okay.
I kind of disagree because I feel like November and December are kind of like the winter blockbuster months. Generally, we see pretty high box office totals during those 2 months, and maybe it doesn't have the kind of publicity as June to August. But there's usually a lot of big movies that open at the end of November, mid to the end November and December. So I think we already have kind of a winter blockbuster. I mean, you look at 2012, and in November, the box office was... November had 10% of the year. You know, June had 10% of the year. August had 7% of the year. So I think it gets more publicity that there's only a summer blockbuster. But in fact, there is a winter blockbuster in November and December.
Yeah, I know. But I think he asks, what do you think will need to happen to give us a quality winter blockbuster?
But we have a quality winter blockbuster. Pretty much every year there's good movies that come out. I mean, last year we had Skyfall that came out. We had, you know, The Hobbit for people who like that. There's a lot of stuff that came out. I think the quality's already there. It's just, I guess more in the summer you're getting more to superhero movies, whereas in the winter it's other kind of blockbusters, and usually the superhero movies get more attention.
Do you think this is as of late? Maybe because, you know, the summer blockbuster season's so already packed that a lot more of these titles are moving to November, December to try and make some money and get more exposure?
No, I think it's always been a trend. I mean, you look at Twilight, but some of those were the first one, I think, was released in November, I want to say.
That didn't make much money.
Django came out of Christmas last year.
So, I think the quality is there. It's just, you know, the movies that get most attention these days are superhero movies.
Summer blockbusters, yeah.
And, well, at the same time, too, the winter blockbuster season is much shorter. You only go from maybe the beginning of November to the end of December, but the real target time is Thanksgiving to Christmas, and a lot of times it's because they want to get families in the theater during those times. Like, maybe you have family over for Thanksgiving or Christmas. Well, I'm sorry, American Thanksgiving. I forget that I'm trying to be Canadians.
Real Thanksgiving, you mean, in Canada in October?
Thanks, Robin Sparkles. Anyway.
I was waiting for that.
But yeah, it's basically like I said, in America with Thanksgiving. But I think the target is definitely Christmas. It's for people to have their day and then have maybe an open evening, or maybe their opening is in the afternoon, then they go home for the dinner. And it's, to me, I never thought about it until I've realized that the theater is open on those kind of days. So they cash in on them too. And it seems like they do have a lot more, I would say, family kind of movies. I mean, nothing is as crazy. I mean, granted, Django did come out, but you're going to always have exceptions. And I think, like I said, I think the big problem is because it's much shorter and it is more, I'll say, family-driven.
And it does, surprisingly, Christmas Day does very well.
Really? The day itself?
Yeah. There's a few years in a row I've gone to see a Christmas movie, and it's been close to sold out for the big ones.
I just wanted to say a point to answer the guy's question. What would make it better is because very few people are actually capitalizing on the fact that there are a few giant blockbusters. I think only James Cameron figured out, nobody else copying him. I think that especially in 2015, where you see that the summer will be just nuts, they should take some blockbusters and actually put them in the winter just to see how it's going to go. Like, yeah, it's shorter, but I have like two or three of them. That would be interesting.
Technically, I think they're already kind of doing that. Hunger Games is coming out 1 week, and then a week or two later, Thor's coming out.
Okay.
And that's just in November.
Yeah. Even beginning in November, you have Ender's Game, which I know Kevin's going to.
Yeah.
Man of Tai Chi, if you've seen the trailer, you're going to want to see this as well. Thor, Wolf of Wall Street, Oscar talk. I find a lot of Oscar-worthy movies start to come out during this time.
A lot of Oscar movies, yeah.
Yeah, I was just going to say that as well.
Yeah, there's November, December, just from the Oscar movies. I'm looking at Alone with Dallas Buyers Club, Wolf of Wall Street. It's just, it looks packed with blockbusters. Hell, even Anchorman's coming out in December, and I know a lot of people who are going to go see that. So
I'm curious to know how that's going to do, because I think there's a lot of hype for that movie.
I could see it having a $50 million opening weekend.
Yeah.
And I think another thing with the summer blockbuster, I mean the winter blockbuster season, is they're trying to do the exact same thing but opposite that they do in summer blockbuster. It's like, okay, they want you to come out of the heat, come into their nice air conditioning facility and watch this movie. Well, now it's, we want you to come out of the cold in most parts of the country and come into our heated movie theater and enjoy this movie.
Yeah, there you go. All right, let's close the show. Get your plugs and final thoughts, Mr. Heavyset.
I'll just say everything is at kayfabesports.com. Make sure you put www before it or it will not show up. And yeah, that's pretty much everything. Check out the show.
All right. Carb, let's get your plugs and final thoughts.
Well, as usual, we're always looking for new members on StableWars.com. It's Fantasy Pro Wrestling. and not much else.
Right, Kebo Trek, final thoughts.
It's good news stories this week, so I'm happy about that.
Will, final thoughts, brother.
Brother. Actually, you know what's funny? I was thinking like fantasy pro wrestling, but isn't it already just fantasy anyways? No.
Oh, dude, you're predicting matches. You can win DVDs. It's a really cool site.
It's like fantasy football.
I was just messing with Carp.
And funny enough, I always pick two teams. I always have like my serious picks and my ridiculous picks. Like just the underdog, I vote all the underdogs, and my ridiculous picks always like destroy my serious pick every time.
Cool. Well, guys, I have awesome news for you. Awesome, awesome news. After all this time talking about it, www.comicbooksftw.com is launching. When you will be listening to this episode, it will have launched. So please, right away, when you're done with this wonderful episode, just go on your computer and write that down, and you will have our first video. Also, I will have a column up there telling you how to get into comics. If anybody wants to know how to get into comics, I'm your man.
48 episodes it took, but now you finally got something to plug. How awesome is that?
It took a while. Yeah, yeah.
Comicbooksftw.com?
That's right.
Awesome. Yeah, if you want to see what Will looks like, he's actually guest hosting a lot of those episodes as well, and they talk all kinds of retro comics. Very, very good episodes. I actually helped film a couple
how I met Mr. Old School.
There you go, and that's why he's a staple of the show.
That's
right.
All right. And history with me.
So for comicbooksftw.com, Carp, Heavy Set, kayfabesports.com, www.kayfabesports.com, and the horribly unattractive Kebo Trek, I am Mr. Old School. Thank you very much for listening. This is what you're supposed to fucking put, RoboCop.
But one thing, though, doesn't have the Terminator sound in the trailer? That was not the trailer today. It's a Terminator.
You should put the Terminator music in it.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be like a ripoff?
No, but guys, seriously, I looked at the trailer from 1987, and they're using Terminator music.
What's up? It is Heavy Set, and I'm here to tell you about Kayfabe Sports Radio, the home of the Ohio Indie Report and NFL Easy Picks. On the Ohio Indie Report, I break down what's going on in the Cleveland scene of independent wrestling, from AIW to Prime Wrestling, and some of the little organizations in between that I can attend. And if you also like NFL football, be sure to check out NFL Easy Picks, hosted by myself and my good friend Joe Bennett, as we break down and talk about what is going on in football, and we make our picks on the coming week's games. And all this can be found at www.kayfabesports.com. You can also find us on iTunes by searching Kayfabe Sports Radio. And while you're at kayfabesports.com, be sure to check out the links for Kayfabe Sports Radio, Ohio Indie Report, and NFL Easy Picks on Facebook and Twitter. So for now, be sure to check out the Ohio Indie Report and NFL Easy Picks on Kayfabe Sports Radio, where it's all a work.
Knowledge. Breaking down the week's news and rumors. The Spanish Announce Table.
TrendingTopicsNetwork.com.
It's got to be you. I have a headless mic. Or cordless mic, not headless.
A headless mic.
Kind of sat on it.
Let's go, you piece of shit.
Who, me?
Hey, what's up?
Hey.
Piece of shit.
Was that a piece of shit?
Yeah.
That's fine. I've been called worse before.
All right, let's get into the news for this week. And I don't have my clip ready. Very appropriate and a nice little tidbit for a tidbit. A nice little tidbit.
No, Chicago.
Chicago.
Is Chicago worse? Wait, guys. Wait,
Chicago.
You are.
I will take Chelsea Grammer.
Your fucking bell. Fuck your bell, man.
Pretty much every year there's good movies that come out. I mean.
Heavy's dog agrees.
No, but I mean, look.
You Titanic?
Look at Avatar, I think Avatar was released. Yeah, Titanic as well. Avatar was released.
Yes.
Will, are you taking a dump or something? What's with the echo?
No, there's an echo. I'm sorry about that.